runs off, then it's a position run off.
Yeah. What about Pugendorf?
Yeah. We'll catch you tomorrow.
It's a running thing. Saw her run across the pasture, didn't we? Yeah. We could get to her.
Kinda we're celebrating, have some coffee.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Real coffee.
Yeah.
You didn't wait that long now.
Yeah.
Hi, Franklin.
Howdy. You know, it sure makes me feel good to feel good.
Why, Cookie? I believe you do feel good.
I don't know when I felt better. I don't know when I felt better.
It's like a miracle.
Well, let's get this stuff cleared away.
Much of anything happened to me.
Why,
he
Cook?
Just went and told me he just done what he said he said should have been done to start with.
Well, now we're in the dark. You have to tell us.
All right. He told me I could talk to him on the telephone. He diagnosed my trouble over the telephone. This Dr. Klink did up in Jasper.
Dr. Klink?
Dr. Klink.
At Jasper?
At Jasper.
You hadn't mentioned him before. I don't remember him.
Well, I just thought of him. He'd been doctoring me before he went to Jasper,
yeah.
But not for these severe headaches.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Dr. Cunningham to start with.
Was that Thursday morning?
Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I went to Dr. Cunningham Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And he asked me a few questions. Pounded around on my knees and scratched the bottom of my feet, looked in my eyes, and charged me $35.
Dr. Cunningham?
Dr. Cunningham.
Looked at your feet and looked at your eyes.
That's right. Said I had a migraine headache. Said he thought he could help me. Gave me a prescription and I didn't have no confidence in it and I didn't get a feel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I talked to Dr. Freeman. He wanted $45 for a physical examination.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't stand $80 in one day.
A little steep.
If you didn't have a headache when you went in, you sure would when you went out. So, I got in that little old Falcon yesterday morning, me and Helen. We drove to Jasper. I got sick in my stomach going up, had to stop. And I had so much dope in me. I went up there, it was late getting there. My appointment was 11:15 and it was 10 minutes after 12 when we got there. All right, he took me in. He sat down and he talked to me for a little bit. He said, now I'm gonna give you a shot. He said, I want you to get up on this table and lay down and lay quiet. Just completely relax yourself. I did. He gave me a shot in this thing right there.
Still puffed up.
But I went through my head. I could feel it going through my head. Through my hips.
Yeah.
Right where you hurt.
Right where I hurt. All through my back where I was hurting. And it just felt like your hands been asleep and you know how it feel like it's just tingling and now that's just the way that felt. That's just the way I felt all over for about 5 minutes. And then all at once it just quit. Just that quick. And I ain't had a headache since.
Well, that's what I told them. Helen said last night and I told them they wouldn't believe it.
No, that's the truth.
I just had to hear it from you.
And he gave me a prescription for some pills. He said, now this is the same medicine in pill form that I give you in the arm. But he said, it had to get in your bloodstream to start with to stop that pain. And he talked like that there's a blood clot somewhere. He said, it had to go in that bloodstream. But now he proved himself to me. He has proved himself to me because I ain't had a sign of headache. I slept last night, slept good. I woke up this morning just as refreshed. But I'm going to have to take it easy. He did tell me one thing. He said, it's 5 days a week on the job.
Well, you've known that a long time.
Yeah, but I didn't have enough sense to do it. He says, on your job, your permanent job, 5 days a week.
Dr. Klink?
Dr. Klink.
Sound like you're making it up.
Well, it's the truth. Dr. Leo F. Klink. He used to be in Hawthorne.
Leo.
He used to be in Hawthorne.
Sounds more and more like you're making it up.
And I moved him from Hawthorne to Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Frank. And he owed me $285 for overhauling a Corvair he had. When I moved him away from Hawthorne, that was the poorest doctor that you ever saw. I mean financially. That man didn't have money to buy a sandwich when I moved him out of Hawthorne.
And yet he didn't even charge you for that medicine.
And he never charged me. He never charged me one red dime.
You mean up at Jasper?
Up at Jasper. Not one red penny. The nurse, they filled out the form. The nurse said, you gave him injection. How much for the injection? He said, no charge. She said, how much for the office call? He said, I said, no charge. She said, well, you write it on this thing then. And he did. He took the form and he said, no charge.
Is that right?
That's the truth. No charge.
And he even remembered you moved him out, huh?
He remembered me,
yeah.
That's right.
How long has that been?
It's been about 2.5 years ago.
Well, now, Cookie, how you figure this, that he knew what to give you?
I figure that he just knows what he's doing. I figure these other people over here don't know what they're doing. He's old, he's a German. Isn't there such things they call a German Dutch or something like that?
Pennsylvania.
No, he come from Pennsylvania. He originated in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But he's got German in him.
But he's got German in him. He, you can tell.
And you don't know what he give you. You don't care.
I don't care what he give me. I don't care what he give me.
And you're still taking it, whatever it is.
Yeah, he told me. He said, I'll show you now. Them little yellow ones there.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to get drunk, just take one of them.
Yeah.
Is that the ones that you?
That I've been taking.
Been drunk on.
Been drunk on.
Uh-huh.
But now them others is the ones that he gave me a prescription for.
Yeah.
And told me, he said, now when you feel like you might be going to get a headache or your head kind of feels a little funny, he said, take one of them.
But you don't take it regular.
I don't take it regular. I just take it when I feel like I might be going to get a headache.
You take it when?
Just before, when I feel like I'm going to, you know, your head kind of might feel You might feel dizzy, or you might feel like you want to. You feel like you might, your head might be kind of stopping up or something?
Yeah.
He said, take one of them pills. He said, I want your records from the Veterans Hospital.
Uh-huh.
I want all your records. He said, we'll study this thing out, and we'll find out where your trouble is located. He said, it may not even be in your head. He said, it may be at the other end. We don't know.
Yeah.
No, that's what he told me. And he sat there and talked to me in hell for a solid hour and a half.
He did.
Diagnosing, looking, and asking questions. And he never, all he done was took my blood pressure. And he said, your blood pressure's too low.
That'll give you a headache.
It was 100 over 62 yesterday. And you take 72 over 52, it's getting pretty low, ain't it? What it was in my veterans hospital.
You sure got the treatment at the veterans hospital, didn't you? That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I got the works.
They got everything over there except doctors, huh?
Except doctors. And I ain't got no faith in them. I ain't got no faith in the medicine.
Now, Helen said over the telephone last night, I was going to talk to her, but I was talking long distance,
yeah.
And we talked for a while, said that he wanted to get your medical record, and you all just sat there, and he took down as much of it as you can,
yeah.
For a long time.
For a long time.
Well, now, what does it consist of, Cookie?
All of the medicine that I've been taking.
Yeah.
The way I'm supposed to take it. Directions. And everything. He took all that down. He wrote on a whole sheet of paper, just directions, medication, directions, what all I'd had, all of the x-rays, and brain scan, brain wave. They checked my heart, they checked my stomach, chest x-rays, everything. He wrote that all down. I said, we'll get the records, their records. Then he said, I'll call you. You can come up here, we'll sit down, study the records, and analyze this thing, and break it down, and we'll find where your trouble is. Well, to me, that makes more sense than any doctor yet. He'll break it down in a language that I can understand it. Now, that's the kind of a doctor he is.
Well, how did you happen to move him out?
Well, he just threw one of the salesmen that he bought his medication from, told him that Dr. Meichler needed help in Jasper because Meichler was the only doctor in Jasper. He had, I believe it's a 25-bed hospital and a big clinic that one doctor was taking care of. Well, he did need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This salesman that told Dr. Clink about it, told Dr. Meichler about Dr. Clink, so they got together.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Clink moved up there to help Dr. Meichler out. And they're doing real good. He's making real good money. He has paid the mortgage off on his house. But he hasn't paid me the $275 repair bill on the Corvair. But actually, I don't think to tell you the truth, I don't think Dr. Clink knows that his wife hasn't paid that bill.
Yeah.
Because they're distant. She's so much younger than he is. They've been.
Helen said last night that you put on all the little things that happened to you.
That's right. That's right.
And she talked like you'd had one thing right after another.
That's right. I did. He asked me and I told him.
What'd you tell him?
I told him about breaking my toes and my feet and getting my feet caught in auger and about this lick up here in the head.
Your feet what? Caught what?
Caught in auger, receiving auger when I worked for Oak Crest Enterprises. This foot here, I almost got it tore off.
Working for, what were you doing?
I was working for Oak Crest Enterprises out there at Hawthorne. That's a feed mill.
Oh.
I was unloading corn. Auger in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Up in the elevators. Comfortable. I got my foot caught in one of them things. Tore my shoe off. Foot.
Well, how'd you get your foot caught in the auger, Cookie?
Well, it had the door was open, and you know, around the feed mill, it'd been raining, and it was slick.
Yes. Oh yes.
And my foot just slipped.
Oh
yes. It went in. That was the only place for it to go. Was right down that hole.
Yes. Well, I'll be that burned. Now that's just since you live in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
What else happened to you?
I told him about my car wreck when I broke three ribs right here.
It's all a possibility.
What
that's
else?
Right. Sure.
What else happened to you?
Oh. That's something about my fingers that I've had broke. See, I've had that thumb there broke. I've had it broke twice.
Your thumb broke?
That thumb right there. That thumb been broke twice.
Mm.
Them fingers right there have been broke. Both of them. Well, a nigger hit him with a 12-pound sledgehammer.
Your fingers?
Yeah.
So what was you holding?
Piece of pipe. Sure did.
Now that's not been since you didn't talk on.
Yes, it has.
Hawthorne hasn't been very healthy.
Sure has.
Dangerous place.
Oh, he got everything.
Well, didn't anything happen to you up in Kentucky? Just all around here?
Well, at the, I got a few bangs and bruises up there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to you up there?
Oh, my gosh. Been horse-throwed, horse-kicked, and about everything.
Horse-thrown?
Yes, sir. Horse throat.
Real throat?
Yeah, really, up there, they buck you off, mister.
Real throat?
Yes, mm-hmm. Sir.
Well, tell me about it.
Bye.
Now, this one in particular, he was a big dun horse. Oh, I'd say weigh around 1,600 pounds. They wanted somebody to ride him. Well, back then I drank. I was about half drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they wanted someone to ride old Charlie.
Yeah.
I'll ride old Charlie. Yes, sir. I didn't even want to hit his back till a man I was flying through the air.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt me. I guess I was just drunk enough till it didn't hurt me.
I
attempted it.
You left the horse.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I've had a heck of a life. I had one. Yeah.
You had what?
I had one horse. I was shoeing him in his hind foot. And I just drove a nail through. Just getting ready to clinch the nail. And he pulled his foot right through my leg.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a scar on my leg that long right there.
Oh, yeah.
Where he pulled.
Yeah.
Nails through his hoof about that far.
It makes me the weirdest thing about it.
He ripped her open.
I don't see how anybody that lives as livestock ever survives very long. Cookie, I don't care what it is. Even old cow out there. Even an old gentle cow like these out there, they can step all over you, and you can't get away from them.
It's just like a fella told me, this old mare I got up the house right now. He told me, he said, now, Cookie, she's just as gentle as she can be. She's 15 years old. And said, she, I never known her to buck. Well, the kids was out there riding in the yard, and she was stubborn. She didn't want to do what they wanted her to do, see? I think so. I'm going to make old Nellie do just what I want her to do for a change. Well, you know, she almost threw me off.
Your new car, horse. 15 years old.
She just come on one throwing me off.
They couldn't make it, so you got on her?
I got on her. I made her do what I wanted her to do, but she come blame near throwing me before, during that time, she just come blame near throwing me off.
Cookie, let me tell you, drink a little coffee. I'm going to ask Steve about you. Back when the family was here, they'd been over there at the beach and came back here overnight, and you was here, and you, they was also dumb. I was ashamed of him. He was the only one that said anything. Well, yeah. I think it was after supper that night. Well, I forget when it was. I may be wrong about that. But you had just worked on that statue. And you told about that statue, and that's real action.
Yeah, Nick ought to hear about that.
Nick ought to hear that.
You remember that?
Now don't shorten it. Just give us take your time on that stack.
What, this last day you know, that I worked on?
Yeah, you and the bed worked
yes,
on there.
Yes, sir.
Couldn't even throw the thing.
That was the hardest horse to throw? No, we're talking about Tony.
Tony?
Yeah.
That was the hardest horse to throw that I ever worked on in my life. I worked on some big ones. But that was the hardest. We had both front feet tied. We had his. We had one hind leg, but we had his left hind leg pulled up to his front shoulder and tied.
And you couldn't get him over?
We couldn't get him. He raised and attempted to strike and bite us on one hind foot and but 3 feet tied. Now that's the truth. I got witnesses for that. And the vet that cut him said, that's the hardest that I ever attempted in my life. He said, I've worked on a many a horse, and that is the roughest. And me too. I have worked on a many a horse, and that is the roughest, the strongest, and the hardest to get down of any one horse I ever saw.
I wouldn't have known how to string him.
No.
It's just it.
How?
We had a 2-inch nylon strap, like you tow automobiles with. It's 2-inch nylon, you can't break it. Made a loop around his neck. Not tight, just fits snug around his shoulders. Okay. We go back, we pick up one hind foot. We come up, we come back through. We go down, we pick up the opposite front foot, cross his chest to keep him choking. Pull it up. We go down, we pick up the other front foot, and pull it up to his chest, and him still on his knees. The horse was on his knees now. I take the rope, go back around the other hind leg, and as I was starting to go around the other hind leg, he come up, he raised with his mouth wide open, and if he could have got loose, he'd have killed both of us. They're easy to tie once you see it tied.
He raised up on that
one hind foot.
The one that was tied.
One that wasn't.
Wasn't tied.
You tie them all but one. You tie all their feet, but their one hind foot, and that's the last one that you tie.
Uh-huh.
Because you want to release their hindquarters first.
Oh.
After you work on them, you want to release their hindquarters first. And the way we tie, the way I tie them, why, once you release one foot and give the and give them the lead, the rope, why the rest of them will come untied. See?
Oh.
That's right. The rest of them will just, it'll just pull right on out.
Yeah.
Well, except that loop around his neck, and it anchored there solid. But now that horse absolutely raised on one hind foot.
And if he'd had one foot free, he might he'd have let you have it.
Yes, sir. If he had had
one more foot free.
One front foot free. My goodness sakes alive. Why, as close as we was to him, he could have killed both of us.
Sure.
Now, he's just a medium-sized horse.
He's just a little horse. He's but very little bigger than Nancy. So don't let the size fool you.
Yeah.
Don't let the size fool you.
Now that's a horse I never, you know, I'm ashamed, I never can remember the name. Is that, what's his name?
Tony.
Oh, Tony. Now that's Tony for you. But now Frank manages him.
Frank manages him. Well, them little girls will stand up on the saddle and ride him in the yard.
Tony?
Tony to ride today. They'll stand up on that saddle and ride that horse. Gentle as a dog today.
Well, what about it? He just, as a stallion, he just too
he was
much
just
bigger.
He was just a man and he knew it.
And you couldn't hold him down over there?
No. No, I just couldn't.
Or did he run the fence?
That's right. And he hates a little man.
Still does.
Still does.
Oh.
Well, I'm gonna learn him to like a little man. I'm going to teach him to like a little man. Me and Frank's building us a fence. We're going to teach him to like a little man. Little man won't hurt him. I'm going to put him on one side of the fence. Little man on the other side of the fence. But the fence is going to be charged with 110.
Oh.
I'm going to teach him to like a little man.
Well, you don't need that much.
A fence charger won't do it.
Fence charger will do it.
I tried that.
Oh, it won't?
It won't do it. He'll eat that. He'll walk right on through electric fence. Tony will.
Just learned too late, huh?
Really?
He'll walk right on through electric fence. I'm going to charge it with 110. I'm going to hook it up to 110.
That'll knock him.
I want to knock him for a loop.
It won't bother little man. Nope. He won't bother.
No, little man won't bother. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Look at that.
Oh. I can't believe it.
Man, there's $100 horse right there.
I can't believe it.
There's $100 horse right there.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Now that's the first time she's been up.
Yeah.
Cookie, she just took Abbott all by herself out there.
Yeah.
And you was
worried about it.
Your plan was to take her over there to bed.
She wasn't due until next month.
Well, that's what we thought.
She wasn't due until next month.
Yeah.
But the World Book says, I believe it's from 10 months. They'll go from 10 to 14 months, I believe it is. It depends on the condition of the animal at the time of the breeding.
Oh.
10 to 14 months.
I believe that's what it says now.
I didn't know that.
Mm-mm. I didn't.
What else was it you had to take pains with on Tony? On Tony. When you was working on him. You didn't want him to get be too active at when you're trying to lose.
Oh, on the cord. I mean, that's there's a certain spot on the cord. If you get below it, why? It's there just seems a stud right on. You get above it, why? That cures it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, when they jerk, after you get through working on them.
Yeah. If they jerk too much, why? That will break the where you use your masculators. Well, if they jump too much, that will exert them,
yeah.
And the blood will break loose and they'll
yeah.
bleed.
So that's what you have to watch for after you let them loose.
That's right.
Well, how'd you handle that?
How'd I handle that? I just held him down, took him right straight, put him in the barn.
Oh, that's right.
And I pinned him up close to where he couldn't lay down. Because he could have laid down and it got dirt and sand and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I put hay in there and I made him stand up for 24 hours till I could get a chance to clot and seal off real good.
You tied him?
Yes, sir.
Tied him closed.
Tied him closed.
And put a stall in?
That's right.
And he behaved.
That's right.
So he didn't give any more trouble.
Now, little man wasn't difficult.
Not difficult at all. Not at all. That was easy. He was real easy.
Yeah.
And he's come down, little man has. He pays no attention to, I mean, he's just an old horse now.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking, let me tell you what I had in mind. It just come to me. We need, you see, everybody works. Nobody got much time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody need a little hay and a little pasture. We ought to form us a partnership, corporation or something, with some of these fellas, half a dozen fellas, you know, just enough to, you know, it's sinful the way this grass grows with fertilizer.
It is.
It's just sinful. And that'll keep a lot of people in grass. Just so I don't have to cut it. And we get a combine and get enough hands out of here involved in it, you know.
Yeah.
And not make it pain. I was thinking I might know somebody. You know everybody in the county. The old pond, you know, over there.
Yeah.
And fellas like that. Now, how much land does he have?
He doesn't have too much of his own land.
Yeah.
He's got 3,000 acres leased, but he hadn't got no improved pasture on it.
No improved pasture.
None at all.
Well, now, why couldn't he take a hand in over here with us
He'd be glad to.
Yeah.
I believe I can unload every bale of hay that we want to sell to him. But he's got to get a place to put it if
yeah.
we can come up with a reasonable price.
And take your new preacher over there. Anybody like that.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Sure.
They might like to take a hand in a little pasture, a little hay. Now, you see, this thing here that caught us again, this low pressure that gets hung up,
mm-hmm.
won't move. That really gets you. That just can't last and on and on and on. That's what's happened all this summer.
Yeah, that's right.
Since July.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, my dad says it's been the worst hay season in West Virginia that he's ever experienced.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's right.
You're going out and see the horse, babe.
Oh, Frank's just here for death.
Yeah, he'd be there.
That's a nice horse. Nice colt.
Yeah. But I think we ought to make it easy on ourselves, and we would not get pushed. And somebody's always going to fall out, you know. If you're not sick, you're
going to give out.
Going to have to go on a trip or something, you know.
Yep.
There's always something like that. And cooking, the thing about hen is, you say, all right, here I am, I'm ready, we'll cut it.
Yeah.
You can't cut it if it sprinkles.
That's right, you can't do it.
Well, like the boy came over yesterday at 12 o'clock, 10 o'clock, wasn't quite ready. I said he wanted to go ahead and rake it. It wasn't, it wet. He says, all right, I'll give it till 12 o'clock. Eat an early dinner and come over here and we'll start to work on it. That's ordering the sun around.
You can't do that, guy.
Let's go out there and see the cool. I want to see it, too.
Now, that's the end of this remarkable little interview, visit with Cookie. He came over, Nikki brought him over, that beautiful blue stingray, always 1:30 at 2 when they got here. He had to sweat him out a good while. And he covered three subjects. What the doctor did to him at Jasper, that list of accidents that he had had, and then making a steer out of Tony, the stallion he brought from Kentucky. This is around 4:55 or 60, Channel 1 right, around 4:55 or 60. And that was Saturday the 23rd of August, 69. Saturday the 23rd of August, 69. Now I'm waiting for Helen to get her version of it. And I think hers will be even more remarkable than Cookie's.
I just never thought anything has changed. Is that husband of yours?
Yes, and I told you. Nick was on his way home. You was out there talking to him on the ramp. I just came out and told you what she said. And, you know, I didn't seem to, believe me.
Well, I just want to know. I mean, I just never saw anything like it.
Well, I was never so provoked. Over Thursday. I mean, I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
Thursday. Over Dr. Cunningham.
Yeah.
I mean, I realized he charged quite a fee, but that wasn't it as much as all he did he could have done 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
While he saw him in the emergency room, Dr. Cunningham saw Leo in the emergency room and couldn't do anything then. He had to wait for an appointment 2 weeks. And he could have done that. All he did.
Okay,
all he did in just a minute or two, 2 weeks ago. And then Leo could have found someone else. But it's like he called Dr. Clink, and he, the first of the week now. We could have gone ahead the first of the week instead of waiting until the last of the week. And Dr. Clink.
Just keep on.
He just told Doc, he said, Doc, I've got troubles. And Doc says, well, what is it? It's your head again? And he explained to him, his head hurt. He told him, he says, did your head hurt in front and go around behind and everything? And he says, and your back's hurting too, isn't it? And Leo said, yes. Went on. And he told him every spot he hurt. So he told him, he said, well, and Leo told him what they were doing. He says, well, they're doing it wrong. So they should give you something into the bloodstream to kill the pain, not deaden it. Said what they're doing, just deaden it. Said it needs to be something to kill the pain. And then followed up with a shot. I mean, the shot plus some medicine. I mean, pills, you know. So, but he said no. Leo told him that he was supposed to see Dr. Cunningham. He said, well, you just go ahead and see him first, and then bring your reports if you're not satisfied on Friday. So of course we were a little bit late getting up there. And he was busy anyway, it didn't matter. And so when he came in, he says, well, now what's wrong with you?
Now that was on Thursday?
That was Friday.
Friday?
See, he went to Dr. Cunningham Thursday.
Yes.
And we were over there all morning doing nothing. And so we went Friday morning. And it was about noon, it was about 1 before we got in there, wasn't it?
Came in just before.
So he, I know, but when we got in his office, back in the office. And he talked to him, and in the meantime, he was trying to write everything that we were telling him, you know, that happened in the past by the VA hospital and all this, you know. And so he went back and got all of his old records. And he laughed, and most of his headaches were treated at the house. Most of his things was when he stuck his foot in the auger and he broke his fingers and he broke his ribs. And he had 2 pages of things that he had treated him for, accidents. But he said he'd given him a shot for swelling and different things, you know. But he said, well, now what kind of medicine? I had it already. And I had my pocketbook up in front of it, you know. He wanted to know, he said, what kind of medicine have you been taking? I just lifted up the pocketbook and had 6 bottles and a prescription laying there. I said, here. And his eyes got big, saucers, you know. And he said, just a minute. So just 2 chairs in there. He went to get a 3rd chair. He was going to have to sit down on that. And he came back with another chair, and he started looking at this and looked at that. He studied the pills, and there's 2 bottles that didn't have any name on them. And he had to study them, look them over, but he told me then what they were. I forget now. But one's painkiller, and one's just narcotic. It's strong narcotic. And he said, well, that's no good. He says, not a thing there. That would kill the pain. Said, all that just deadens it. He says, what we need is a bunch of initials, an IV on the end of it. Shot. You know, it was 3 medicines in 1. He said, now we need to get that into the bloodstream. He said, get up on the table. Before we go any farther, we'll get that taken care of. So, put him up on the table, and he went and came back, and he took his time putting it in. Just steady to be sure he got it in the vein, just right, and he put it in this big vein. And he told him to be still. So he just stayed a little while. And he went out and came back in a few minutes and asked him how he was. He said he was growing. He said, well, I expected that. So stay a little while longer. And Leo said his head began to tingle, just like 1,000 needles punching in, you know. Like you're going to sleep, you know, and you become too, and you tingle. And all at once it quit. And he said his head, something like that. The doc came back in and he said, now how you feel? Leo said, he's quit. Helped him up and... Just as soon as he set up, he said, how you feel? And Leo says, I feel sick at my stomach. And he says, we're across the hall. He expected it, I think, because he told him where to go right now. And I told him that he'd gotten sick going up, and we had to stop. And so he got filfing around in his medicines for some more tablets and things, you know. And so he told me, he said, we'll have to wait till we get the reports. He wanted him to go to the medical center. And I just told him, no, I'd rather he wouldn't, because those are the same doctors he had at the VA hospital. Because they just travel back and forth, you know, across the road. And I told him, no, he says, well, we'll wait and see. And then if we have to send you someplace, we'll decide then where. He said, no, I just treated this to kill it. He said, I don't know what caused the pain. Mm-hmm. He said, I'd have to see the records first. But he said, what I give you is to cut.
I've never heard of that.
And it eased in his back.
It eased
the pain in his back. That's what I kind of laughed at. I told him about Leo had a sister. See, Dr. Cunningham, he said it was a form of migraine headache. That's all he told me. And he was 90% plus sure that he could treat it. That's what he stated. And that's all he told me, wasn't it? And, so I told Doc, I said, now Leo has a sister that they did the same way. She went to a medical doctor first, and he sent her to a specialist from one to the other, you know. She went through Cleveland Clinic, and she came back, and well, she had a headache that lasted 3 months. And she was under medication, just like Leo, for 3 months. And I don't know what doctor sent her, but she went to a clinic in Cincinnati. Anyway, she went to a doctor in Cincinnati. And they examined her, and she had female trouble.
What's causing her headache?
Nothing wrong with the head at all.
They clipped a nerve, and that her headache stopped, and she hadn't had a headache since. Mm-hmm. Now, she has ordinary headache, you know what I mean, like anyone, that you can just take an aspirin or something. But as far as another headache, she said she knew what Leo was going through with, because she said she was the same way. So I told Doc, I said, well, Doc, maybe somebody's head just put it to work with. He kind of grinned and let go of that. I'm sure. Now, he didn't have on his records. But I'm sure somewhere along the line he gave him a shot for prostate cancer. I'm sure he did, and I told him he did. But it's like we talked about coming home. He stopped by our house so many times, and he'd have medicines in his bag, you know, and he would go ahead and give him whatever was wrong with him at the time. He'd forget to write it down. Of course, he's absent-minded. I know that. And he just didn't get it on his record when he got back to the office, you know. Because maybe he'd sit and talk at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Eat supper? Eat a midnight snack?
I mean, he was even been there long enough for me to bake a cake and eat it all at night. You know, or bake pie. I bake pies at night after they came. And he would treat him, and maybe it wouldn't get on the record. But I'm sure he gave him a shot, and I told him he did. I said, I'm just sure that's what you said it was for when you gave it to him. And I said, well, maybe it's something like that's wrong that's causing him to. Because this, when it got into the bloodstream, it stopped his headache, and it also stopped those pains in his back. So I told him, I said, well, doctor. He had trouble with his back, and he had doctored him before with some sort of a shot, not this, because this is something new.
Yeah.
But he didn't have any record of it. And so I told him, I said, now, doc, I went out last Saturday. He messed around and was a little bit late getting his medicine, this dope, and I said, he lost his sense of balance again in his eye, in his vision. I said, now, if I take this medicine off of him now, what will he do? He says, well, we'll just have to see. But now that proves that his balance and his eyesight is caused from the headache.
Yeah.
Now, what's causing the headache, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because when his headache quit and he went off of the dope, he could walk.
And your eyes didn't bother.
Mm-hmm. And his eyes cleared up. So that's proof on that part. But now what's wrong, we don't know. I believe he thinks this. But by the way, Leo, he said this area right here, the way he said that tingle, that doc thinks there's something right through there that's causing the way he acted. He didn't say, because he didn't have any proof to go by. But just from his actions, I was watching him when he, you know, talked.
Now, what doctor said that it was according to the x-rays that looked...
Dr. Cunningham. But you know, he didn't mention it Thursday. When Leo called him and talked to him, he mentioned that. But, of course, you know, he works at the med center. And he could have walked over after Dr. Allman asked him to, you know, refer him to Cunningham. He could have walked over to the VA hospital and looked at those. Laura distinctly remembers. She said she was sure that she saw that same x-ray with that spot. She saw it.
She was standing right beside me.
But we followed him all over the place in that hospital. And they were... they had a big, in this one little room, and the door was open 3/4 of the time, where interns, you know, would be studying different x-rays, and Leo told her what number was his. He remembered, you know, what number his number was, and she said that was his number. And they were discussing this, but they told him to VA hospital, it wasn't anything.
Mm-hmm.
But now she says she saw that. And Dr. Cunningham said that there was a spot. But he never mentioned it Thursday. And when it had written, we had to write about three or four pages, you know. We had to write about three or four pages before he went in, you know, the information and everything. And it asked on there, and any of the family had a migraine headache. And I put a sister, because I thought that was really her trouble. Because I didn't call her till I came home Thursday. And I called her Thursday night. And I found out it wasn't. It wasn't a migraine. So I was misinformed. See, I gave him. But when I started to say, when he called me back in his office, he had that information turned to where it said sister had a migraine. And, you know, they say that's kind of an inherited thing.
Yeah.
His mother had the headaches, what they called it. But I didn't put his mother down. I didn't even think of her at the time. I just thought of Opal.
So your mom's
wasn't
a migraine headache?
No, mom's something else either when they thought it was a migraine. But when I called Opal, I called her Thursday night then. But I wanted to satisfy myself, because I wasn't satisfied with what he told me. So Doc told us, he said Leo had to sign for him a release, you know, so he could send and get the records. And then he told us when he got them, and he would call us.
Dr. Clint.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at the clinic at that.
Mm-hmm.
What are all these accidents you set down that Leo had?
He's had all that. He stuck his foot in an auger one time at Oak Crest and almost cut off. He had to go and tore his shoe up and everything else. And he's had broken fingers that Dr. Clink's put back together. He was in an automobile, he's in a truck accident one time. Broke his ribs, and he doctored him for that, taped him up and everything. He's had his fingers.
Who taped him up with that?
Dr. Clink.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how many times his fingers broken. Two or three different times, different ones.
Yeah.
And, he stuck a, he drove a chisel through his finger once. And he had to doctor that, had to take it out.
All of that while he's over in Hawthorne.
Yeah. 2 pages. 2 pages of things. Because that was his old records he went back to get. That was in his old records. He went back in the old file and pulled them out. Yeah.
Well, isn't it sort of nice to talk to a doctor that you visited with, sat around and baked the cake while he was talking to you?
Oh, yeah. You know what we discussed usually on those nights? Old-fashioned remedies.
Is that right?
We worn out old-fashioned remedies. Yeah.
They
love to get on, can.
That's why he knows many.
We told each other different ones, you know. I know one time his wife stopped by and one of the kids had gotten a little burn or something. And of course, you know, I couldn't think what you're supposed to do. And she told me, she said, "Why don't you stick butter on it like I told you?" And I'd forgotten.
Yeah.
We was talking one night about welding.
About what?
Welding.
Yeah.
Getting your eyes burnt with welding, by welding, you know?
Oh.
And I asked Doc, I said, "Do you know what's good for that?" He said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "What is good for it?" I said, "A nice potato."
Yeah, scraped potato. It takes a burnout right now. He burned his eyes one night and I put his big old wad of scraped potato in one eye and a big old wad in the other eye, and he went to sleep. He slept on his back. The next morning, I went in to wake him up. It was a big black bunch here and a big black one over here. But he had pulled a burnout.
That is, the welding burns your eyeball.
Right.
Feels like there's sand in them. Ooh, it burns.
So
yeah,
you just put that ice paper on it.
Right.
Huh? Right on the eyeball?
Right.
Right on the eyelid?
Right. Put it there to where
it'll go through the eyelid.
The juice from the potato will get down in around,
you know,
the
around
eyeball.
Around the eyelid.
You go to sleep.
You just feel relief.
Uh-huh.
It's almost instant relief.
It's great ice potato.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No, I told him I'd rather drive the distance up there to sit down and be able to talk to someone than I would to go 5 miles and couldn't get a word.
But you know, these doctors I talk to, I just feel foolish all the time I'm talking to them. I like I haven't got anything to say.
Well, they ask us silly questions sometimes. That
you feel as if they haven't got enough time to talk to you.
When it's all written down there. I mean, they want you to fill out all this thing, you know, and it's already written on there instead of reading, but they ask you again.
Well, I don't know. That sounds right remarkable, that remedy. I don't know the difference between the painkiller and the pain deadener, but whatever.
Well, I tell you, he's one doctor, though. If he isn't sure, he won't give you something until he goes to his book and finds out.
Yeah.
Boy, I've had him read through his book more than one time with me.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't propose that this is going to last.
Oh, no. He didn't say it would be a lasting thing.
Right?
Uh-uh. Because he didn't know what the trouble is.
Because he hasn't.
He was just trying to get relief right now.
Yeah.
But he said, "We'll get the records." And he said, "If we don't get enough proof there, we'll go get it."
Yeah.
Then he'll find, you know.
Uh-huh. At least you feel like he really will find out.
I'm confident he'll find out what my trouble is.
Have you had any headaches since?
Very light, very light.
But he gave him, now see this tablet is supposed to be the same form of medicine as the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave him a shot for quick action.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he felt like, felt funny, and then go ahead and take this pill. It's a hard-coated pill. It's supposed to have the same thing in it as the shot.
It, in time, approximately the same effect.
Just takes longer.
Just takes longer.
Valium.
That's mine, but I haven't taken any of them.
Now, Leo took Valium. That's yellow.
Mine's 5 mg.
That's 2.
Uh-huh. Well, the sing is starting at 3:30 over at Reverend Williams Church. And I told Miss Bessie I'd take a little of it for her.
16 Negro men are going to sing that.
Oh, I'd like to hear that.
And really, you just ought to go sit down all day. It's right here. You really ought to. Just that little church, little Negro church right now.
You know, they asked me at the VA hospital not to come back from Tuesday to Friday.
I don't think
stay away.
Oh, they didn't want the family back.
No, they didn't want me back. They wanted me to stay away until Friday. So I went back in. I didn't go back Thursday, but I did Wednesday. When I went back Friday, I went out and asked her. I said, did it do any good for me to stay away? She says, well, I don't know. She says, I believe he walks just a little bit better. So I come to the conclusion she was thinking I was bringing him medicine, I believe.
Oh.
From the way she acted, because she asked me, she said, are you sure that he hasn't been taking more medicine he's supposed to? And I said, yes, I'm sure. It was this Librium. She was just sure that he was taking more of it, and that was causing his staggering. I said, no. I said, I can count the pills and make sure, but I said, I know he's too short. I said, I know 2 times he didn't take it when he was supposed to. And she says, well, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. But I said, I can be positive if you want me to. I'll call the druggist and get the exact number he put in the bottle. I said, he knows what he put in there. And I'll recount him again. I did, and he was still too short, too. That's what I told her. She thought, I guess, that he was taking more than what he, you know, that I didn't know what I was talking about and everything. So I carried the medicine after that, and I never did see her anymore, get a chance to give it to her. I was going to give them to him, sure.
Well, Helen, this having this pain all the time, and then not being able to work regular, that makes a man pretty nervous.
Well, it does, because he worried. You know, he was worried, afraid that we wouldn't have enough to eat or something, you know. And all that was working, you know, oh, just the least little thing upsets him now.
Well,
I have
remember
to.
Remember, he's not cured.
That's why I know, and that's why
and
I tell
really
the children. Better. The children get on his nerves. I have to watch them because if they get too loud, it will cause him to have a slight. It'll be a slight. He'll have to take something.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come back. I'm sure it will. Mm-hmm. That's why I told him. I said, now if you want to go to work, you go ahead to work. But I said, if you feel like you better sit down, I said, you sit there.
Yes.
And I said, when it's time to come home, you come on home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just forget about the Saturday business. You can't get it because you just can't work that many, you know, hours. Not knowing what it is that's causing it, it can come back any time.
Well, now, like these on the side, you know, when he went to the market over there, the sales and all like that, and on the side, when he really ought to have been home.
He just can't do it. Now, he can if someone comes in. But he just can't. Sit down when he's by when we're there by ourselves. He thinks he has to work.
Yeah.
So it makes him more nervous. And
Dr. Cunningham asked him what he did for recreation. He said he worked.
Yeah.
He said that's all he knows.
Well, he trades.
He likes to work with horses and things, but he likes to work.
But he don't consider that work.
No. But he is all the time doing something to a car or something. You know, he just. He's done that since he's been home, much as he can, but he gives out and will come in. But now, the next one he has might be more severe than this one. You can't tell.
But he shouldn't be driving, Helen.
Oh, my goodness knows.
Who can drive? Can Laura drive?
Some, but that makes him nervous.
Oh.
That's
well,
he'll
have to get used to it.
It makes him nervous. You just have to kind of, and you can't fuss at him too much either, because that makes him nervous. You just have to hope he stays over there where he belongs. Especially when he's... Now, of course, he can see all right now. But if this pain should come back, it this double vision comes back.
Yeah.
It's a mess. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So, I don't think he'll work too much. you know, just if it just isn't too much of a strain.
Well, I just hope Dr. Clint gets the information and doesn't fool around.
We'll call him.
Whatever.
See, they have a lake place out from us. Lake Winant. And they've been coming down every other weekend. But right now, with this other doctor gone, he's there all the time. He can't come down. And he has Tuesday off. And he used to come down some on Tuesday. Come down maybe Monday night, you know. And then he'd be off on every other weekend. I think that's the way it was. He's off duty every other weekend, but he's on call, you know, the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, with the other doctor gone, he'll have to be on call at all times, so he won't be down this way. But I said I'd rather drive the distance to feel that I can talk with someone, you know, that connects. I told him, I said, it has to be explained so I can understand it, you know. And he took an hour and a half with us. And the office, and when I came out, the waiting room was just packed, and a labor case came in while we were, and we weren't quite, you know, he wasn't quite finished all he wanted to say. The nurse was just panicking, you know, she's trying to get him to hurry. He says, I'll just be there in a few minutes. He'd tickle me. She was trying to hurry him, you know, he wasn't in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it was in this, they had put her in another room, you know, down the hall. And
well, you all knew this Dr. Clint a long time, didn't you?
So, uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he sewed Sarah's head up two or three times, and Becky's once,
and
I know Frank got the phone one time, and he just happened by that afternoon for something. He took him back down to the office and gave him a shot. Stone with a wasp. That's what it was, on between the eyes or over the eye or something.
Yeah.
And he's always, you know, in and out different things.
Well, he thought
it
was your family.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, we took Sarah. On her bad hand, you know, the hand that was cut, you know, and the nerves cut and severed. She had played on the monkey bars at school and had blistered the palm of her hand, and it healed. And we just felt, well, he could be more, you know, she was used to him. So we took her all the way to Jasper for him to doctor.
I'd do it too.
And He knew he couldn't numb it or anything, you know. He's afraid, oh, it would hurt, you know, maybe she'd cry. She never did cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, she's my little girl. I said, I just hate to cut that. I know it's going to hurt, you know.
Yeah.
But she didn't whimper.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't whimper. And it was like, oh, it's my And he opened it.
Mm-hmm.
They put a great big bandage like a